I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to the help you get from Dan Burns, ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll help you keep it running. All you have to do is call in or text in your question. As usual, Dan Burns has helped us out for, well, when he was probably about 18 years old, I think he started, something like that. But you've been in the business a while.
I've been in it a long time. Yeah. I owned my first shop when I was 26.
My goodness.
I've been doing it a long time.
Kind of a scary thing, I bet, back then.
Yeah, it was. You were all in for sure. I had three little kids at home.
Mouths to feed.
Failure was not an option.
No, I guess not. Well, we had a good time. I did. Dan did some work, but I had to get some... thank goodness that you have this wherewithal to say, you know what, you need some front brakes. And indeed I did. But we visited the Lloyd's on, Thursday. And, it's really amazing to see a pro work. I mean, you got all the tools there, and you get right to it, and it's like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, I had you helping me. That made it a lot easier.
I can't do the show without you, but I pick up a few things here and there.
Yeah, you have some good answers, actually.
Sometimes. Yeah. But you know what I want to notice? You have no idea that I was going to say this. I was telling my family this. That one thing I noticed, and I probably notice it every time I go to Lloyd's, is that the people that come in to, for service, men and women, I must have seen four people that morning come in. They're all happy.
Huh?
You know what I mean? I mean, so they know that they're going to get good service, not ripped off, and get it done right. But I've never noticed that before.
Oh, well, thank you for the endorsement.
It is what you guys do.
I'm glad you noticed that, and I'll share that with my crew when I get back, because that's a big deal coming from someone that's not there all the time, noticing it.
Well, people, you think, it could be major repair work done.
Right.
And they're like, it could be dread. They're filled with dread. But these people were actually smiling and joking.
Oh, good.
I think that's a great sign.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a tribute to you and your guys, too. Yeah. All right, let's talk about brakes, because I noticed something I've never, because I guess I've never seen brakes being changed before, new discs. Now explain what those components are. There's this big round thing.
Well, you had your brake pads were worn out, and the brake rotors were thin. Okay. So we chose to replace the brake rotors, which was the big metal parts that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then we installed new brake pads. And in the process, as you saw, we cleaned everything up. We cleaned all the rust off the hub for the bearing, and we lubricated that, and then we cleaned all the slides for the brake pads and the pin that holds the brake pads in. So pretty much we cleaned up and made your brakes like brand new again.
And then
in the process we changed the fluid too.
Well, that's right. You have to do that.
Well, you don't have to do that, but it's recommended. Because brake fluid is water soluble, in other words, it will absorb moisture over time, and that's not good brake fluid. Brake fluid needs to be clean and pure, with in a perfect world with no moisture in it, and that's how it works best.
But then you and with your colleagues there, you had to you get the air out of the line?
First we flushed all the brake fluid out, and then we bled the brakes to get some additional fluid out and any air that might have been introduced in the process.
Now, what kind of pads? You were talking about a different material than...
Well, the pads we used on your car, because they're available, because it's a car that allows that, we use ceramic brake pads, which are nice. We've learned to like those because they're quiet. You'll notice that you don't hear any squeaking or noise from them. And also, they produce very little dust. And some people, you know, especially if you, when you go to the car wash, if you have that lubricant put on your tires so that they shine.
Yeah.
That sure grabs the brake dust and makes your wheels all
wheels
black.
Can get pretty dirty with that dust.
Yeah. So these are just better about not creating as much dust.
It was interesting watching the pro at work there. Yeah. It was kind of fun. And plus, you showed me that they're on the disc itself. They're like fins.
Oh, your brakes happen to have they happen to be directional so that as the brake rotor is turning going down the road, it catches air. And then cools the rotor and keeps the pads.
Oh.
You know, brake fluid, as I was telling you that day, there's a few different kinds of brake fluid. And what it has to do with is the boiling point of brake fluid. And you would say, well, really? Brake fluid can boil? And, you know, out in Colorado, this is actually very common when you're going down the mountain and you're applying your brake often.
Yeah.
And the brake fluid can actually get hot enough where it starts to boil, and the air that's now in your system will not it compresses.
Hmm.
So brake fluid does not, that's the whole point of using brake fluid, is when you step on the brake, there's it does not compress. It allows the pistons and the caliper to push against the brake rotor and allow you to stop. Well, if you have bubbling going on inside there, then there is room for the brake pedal to fade, and it actually can fade far enough where the pedal will actually go to the floor.
Ooh.
And the brakes will stop working.
You don't want to be going down mountains like that.
No, that's
anywhere.
And, you know, I don't know if you ever watch, you know, NASCAR or IndyCar races, but when these cars go around the track and they apply the brakes, the brake rotor actually gets glowing red hot.
Wow.
So, and so does it on your car. I mean, the brakes get very, very hot. The friction that you produce in the process of braking is significant, and so the brake fluid needs to not boil. And
interesting.
That's why we change it.
Oh, see, I've learned all this in a couple of hours. It's amazing. All right, let's let our listeners in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a car care question, there's a guy you want to talk with, or text to 651-989-9226. That applies to both the phone call, if you want to chat with Dan, or the text line, 651-989-9226. Text just came in, Dan, says, do these ceramic pads require a special rotor?
They do not.
They do not.
They do not. No, nope. They're compatible, and you know, as I told you with the parts that I was choosing to order for your car because of who you are, I got the best I could get,
yeah.
and that's what you want. That's what I want to put on.
Sure.
And if the customer will allow me, that's always what I'll do. Now, some people don't have the budget for that, or the car's old and it just doesn't make sense. But,
yeah.
But if I have the option, I like to use the best.
Now, how long would you say normal circumstances, normal to whatever normal is, you know, say drive 12,000 miles a year or something.
Right.
And I'm not the kind that races. I see a red light. I don't speed up.
Right.
So I can slam on the brakes like some people do.
Right.
I kind of coast.
Right.
But how long would you think those, what you replaced, how long do you think they'll last? I forgot to ask you that.
That was the first brake job on your car. And so what's your car have, about 40,000 miles on it?
Yeah, about
a little less.
About 30, yeah, less than that.
Less than 40. So that's how long the first set lasted.
Oh, there you go.
And with the way you drive, I suspect that you'll get much better wear out of your brakes than the brakes now will do better than that.
Than the original.
40,000's a little soon for brakes, but quite commonly we do them at that point. You know, if you drive aggressively, which is fun to do. So the result is you have to do brakes a little more often.
All right, Dan, hang on. We have callers, we have texters, and we're going to get everybody's question answered here. Don't forget, Dan is going to be here till just about 7:45. So if you have a question, don't wait. Call it in or text it in. And good morning. Welcome back to our Car Care Show here on News Talk A3OWCC. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Tell you what, let's do this. First of all, tell us where Lloyd's is located, then we're going to pick up on calls here.
Well, you know well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Give us a call, 651-228-1316, or friend us on Facebook.
Yeah.
You can find us there, too.
Which I do all the time.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give you that number before Dan leaves us today. Let's get to the phones. Folks have been waiting. Steve is one of them in St. Louis Park. Steve, you're on CCO.
Hi, thank you, Dan and Danny, for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I really appreciate your guys' show, and I love both you guys, so thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
I have a 2006 Dan Chevy Impala LS with 112,000 miles on it. I've been losing oil for a while here, but they finally determined it was a timing cover gasket. However, my mechanic's telling me just keep adding oil. And is that a good thing to do? Or I know it can be expensive because sometimes you have to take the water pipe up. What's your opinion of this, Dan?
Well, I think with a 2016 with 112,000 miles, that's got a lot of life in it. I'm not sure that I would make the decision to just start patching it or holding it together. I think that's probably a good car still and probably worth the investment of taking care of that. So I probably would fix it.
Yeah.
If it had 216,000 miles, then maybe I'd think about it. Yeah. But I think at that age, because it's only going to get worse. I mean, the leak's going to get worse for sure. So I think at that age, I probably would fix it.
Yeah, especially if you know it and you like it.
You know it and you like it, you bet.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the comment. Kathleen is next up here on CCO from Maplewood. Kathleen, you're on with Dan.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I just want to say I listened to you in honor of my dad, Dad Vogel. He loved you guys so much.
Oh, fantastic. What a nice thought.
Okay, so here's the deal. I have a Scion IQ 2013, and when I started, it chirps like a bird, and then it stopped.
Yeah. Usually that's coming from the alternator belt. When the car has sat, the batteries undercharge a little bit just because of time. And then when you start the car, using the starter to get the car cranked takes the battery down just a little bit more. And so oftentimes when you start the car, the alternator is looking to put a whole bunch of charge back into the battery real quickly. And so that's when you have the strongest load on your alternator, which of course is being turned by a serpentine belt. And if that serpentine belt is getting worn, stretched, or just wearing out, it needs to be either adjusted or more likely replaced, and that'll take care of it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you did that to one of my vehicles many years ago.
I think I did. Yeah.
It kind of stopped everything.
We pretty much do it every day.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you, Kathleen. Let's see. Dick is calling from South St. Paul with a question for you. Dick, go ahead with your question.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
On the Rain-X wipers, is that a good wiper or is there better ones?
Well, I don't know that particular brand myself. I don't sell them and I have never used them, but it certainly is a good name brand. So I think that they're probably pretty good. And don't be shy about wiper blades. You know, and it's hard too because they've gotten a little bit expensive.
Oh yeah,
but I think wiper blades should at least be changed every year, maybe more often than that. I do my own more often than that, especially with my vision and and in the evening when it's raining or misty, you get that haze coming through and it makes it really hard to see. So I you know, not only is it more comfortable to drive, but I think it's kind of a safety thing. So
there are differences.
So that would be my advice. Change them often. And if you happen to hit a winner, if Rain-X is the right one for you and it lasts a year or a long time and does a good job, then stick with it. If not, try a few different things and see what works for you. And the other thing is, Denny, windshields are all shaped a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so a particular wiper might work better on one car than another. They kind of try and make them universal just by length. And
so
that doesn't always exactly apply just right. So
doesn't match up.
You might have to try some different brands just to see which one works best on your car.
But more change it more often than maybe you have.
I think time goes by quickly.
Especially if
it?
You use the blades to wipe off frost,
or not even ice. Frost, ice. Yeah. I joke about that. If you know when you have that ice on your windshield in the morning, if you'd go take your bare hand and rub it across that ice, it hurts.
But it's rough. Yeah,
and you can imagine what that's doing to your wiper blade. So. That's the other piece. Scrape your windshield. If you want your wiper blade to last longer, scrape your windshield before you turn on
the
wipers.
Give it a little help.
Yeah.
There. All right, Dick, thank you. Mike is calling from Roseville this morning. Mike, you're on with Dan.
Good morning, guys. I've got a 2009 Ford Fusion, and I still have original brakes on it from, and it just turned 100,000. And I'm just wondering why the rotors need to be changed if the pads are, you know, if they're not damaged. Why can't you just change the pads? And I have a question about coolant also. Should the coolant be changed and why?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, talk about the brakes first. I'm making a note here so I remember both things because by the time I get to the second answer, I forget. The brakes, the reason that the rotors almost always have to be changed nowadays is two reasons. One is the brake rotor or the pads have gotten so efficient, and that's why you've got 100,000 miles on your brake job. But the pads have gotten so efficient that they're very hard, and they cause the brake rotor to wear just like the pads wear. So if we measure your brake rotors, they'll be below the minimum specification. In other words, they'll be too thin to use again. And the other part of it is the labor. You know, back in the old days when rotors were thick and meaty, before they were so worried about gas mileage, that's the other reason rotors aren't made thicker than they are, is they want to keep them lightweight.
Okay.
So they make them as thin as they can. But at any rate, back in the day when we could machine rotors, we'd put them on a lathe, make them smooth again, put a new surface on, and we could use them again. But nowadays, oftentimes the rotors aren't expensive enough to be worth the labor that it takes to refinish the rotors. So we just replace them. So two good reasons to replace them.
And the coolant?
The coolant, as manufacturer recommends, oftentimes coolant is lifetime. Nowadays, many manufacturers don't recommend changing coolant. But over time, the composition of coolant from heating it up and cooling it off and just using it over time, it changes. And sometimes it can get more acidic, or it can get corrosive, or it can... the additives that they put in it when they make it burn off. And so they want you to change the coolant and put fresh additives back in to keep everything on the inside of the engine clean and lubricated and not corroded or rusting. I guess rust is not the right word, but they certainly can get corroded inside there. And sometimes it'll even plug your heater core or your radiator and things like that. So that's why they recommend changing the coolant.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Tom, you're going to be next, so don't go away on the phone. There was a text came in, and we're going to pick up on more text questions too. Texter says, I don't want to put you, meaning you, Dan, out of business, but what is the most reliable car available? I need to buy a car for a 17-year-old. Remember now, it needs to be stylish. I know you don't recommend a brand.
Isn't that the truth? It's got to be
used but stylish.
Yeah. Well, you endorse Toyota.
I mean, that's certainly
a good option for a kid car. I can't really name a car, actually, because it depends totally on your budget,
right?
And how new and how what you want to do. But my advice for sure would be, unless you're buying a brand new car, to certainly have it inspected and checked out, and get some advice from your mechanic. Pick a few cars that your child think are cool enough for them, and then see if it fits into the budget. And if it does, then go. Try one and get the opinion of your mechanic and see if that's a good option.
Whatever the vehicle you find, have a check.
Get some help, yeah.
Hang on, Dan. We're going to take a bit of a break here and have a look at the weather, too. And then, Tom, you're going to be next on the phone, then we'll grab some text messages here on CCO's Car Care Show. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your questions by phone and by text. And I know we've got a bunch of text messages, and I don't want to forget about those, but we do have some folks waiting online, too. We promised Tom in Soteria, Wisconsin. Tom would be next. Thanks for waiting, Tom. What's your question?
I have a 2002 Chevy Astro van. The left front wheel pulls to the left when I apply the brakes, and the harder I brake, the more it pulls, and the brake pads are real good shape.
Well, there's a what my first thought is that one of the brakes is applying more than the other one, or it's not releasing properly. When you know, maybe one of the pads is stuck in the slides or something like that. But usually, if it's brake related, when you're stopping, if it pulls, and it's when you're braking, it usually has something to do with the brakes. So I think if you actually took it in and had somebody put it up on the hoist and spin the wheels, you'd find that one of them has more resistance than the other one. And you'll have to get that one taken apart and figure out what's going on, why that's happening. There's lots of things that can cause it. The pads can get stuck in the slides. The pins that the caliper slides on can freeze up. Causing it. So there's, you know, a whole bunch of things that will cause it. Or the other one's not working at all. That's another option. I think if you get it up on the hoist and get that checked out, it'll be pretty clear.
It'll tell you something.
Pretty easy, yeah.
All right, Tom. I'll grab a call from Will in Zimmerman, then we'll grab some text messages. Will, you're on CCO with Dan.
Hi, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Say, I'm looking at a 2020 new Chev pickup, and they don't even offer a CD player. So I was wondering if you know if a CD player can be installed and hooked up so it comes, you know, the sound comes out of the speakers that are in the truck.
Yeah, I'm sure it can. First of all, if you can buy one, you'd have to find somebody that sells one. But I'm sure that there's a kit that will allow you to have that, installed into the vehicle.
There are businesses that do just that.
Yeah. Well, I think Best Buy has one, and there's a place called Mach 1. I know that we've done some business with over the years. So those are a couple of ideas. You can call them, and they at least would have a better answer if it's available for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you could probably search the web on that.
I was just going to say Google it.
Yeah, Google it. I bet you'd get a lot of information about that too. And those people would all be advertising on that Google search.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Good hunting, Will. Thank you. Good morning, Texas says. 2011 Ford F-150. The heated seats no longer heat. The switch on the dash illuminates. Seats themselves no longer heat. Is there a fuse or a fusible link that I need to check? Thank you.
Yeah, probably not. If the switch is lighting up, that's probably all the same circuit, all the same power that you're receiving. We quite often see where the grid that's actually in the seat, because of you getting on and off it, where that printed circuit grid will break, and so the seats are just the seat is just worn out and from using it. But those grids can be replaced.
They can.
Yeah. It's a pretty easy test. You just, find where the wiring comes into the seat and check and see if you have power and ground coming to the seat. If you do, then, of course, the problem is in the grid itself. And it's kind of a big job because the cover and cushion have to come off the seat to replace it. But we do it, and it certainly can be done.
You do it often?
Yeah, you can't live in Minnesota without
heated
seats anymore.
No, never again.
Well, we don't do it real often because it's more, usually it's an older car.
Sure.
People don't want to spend the money that it takes to do it. But we certainly do it. Yeah, it's not uncommon.
All right. Let's see. Why do rotors warp and how often do you see it?
Well, we see it all the time. That's a very, very common problem when you're driving down the highway and you're coming off the highway on an exit ramp and you step on the brakes and you feel the steering wheel shake. That's most commonly caused because the brake rotors have warped. And Why that happens is what we were talking about earlier. When you use your brakes, they can get very, very hot, and the heating and cooling of any metal can cause it to warp. So that's what causes it, and maybe the brake rotors can be machined smooth again. Most commonly, though, the repair is to replace the rotors, and at that time you would probably put new pads in too.
Okay. I know your comment, your feelings about fuel additives, but this texter says that they have a 7.3 turbo diesel failed last week on the road. Truck had to be towed. Can you recommend a good diesel fuel additive for these frigid days?
I don't know much about diesel fuel, but I know that you do need, or they do often recommend an additive for diesel fuel. I can't recommend one, but I would if I was you, I would certainly do the research on that and find out what you what a good one is.
Okay, let's see. Here is and we got a couple of minutes to go here. I have, texter says, a 2014 Chevy Captiva Sport 2.4 8-speed. It does not get very good gas mileage, around 24 miles per gallon in summer, and now around 20. I replaced the cam center and installed new plugs. Any suggestions as to what else I could try?
Well, if you bring your vehicle in, I can tell you if it's running as efficiently as it can, if I hook it up to my scan tool and take it for a drive. In other words, we can watch the air fuel mixtures, and if they're in the right range, and if the exhaust, if what's coming out of the exhaust is not rich, if it's exactly what it should be, then the car is adding fuel at a rate that the car needs. And so I think before I did anything more, I would take it in and have that inspected. And if it is what it is, then that's just all you're going to get out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Another text says this. I have a 2012 F-150. Every now and then when I start it up and let it idle for a few seconds, it starts to cut out and will almost kill. Then I'll shut it off, and when I try to restart it, it'll barely start. But then when it does, everything runs fine. It does this periodically every two or three weeks to me. Any ideas?
Yeah, I don't have any great ideas with that. There's a million things that could cause that. And that every 3 weeks part is the part that as a technician I hate, because it's going to be really, really hard for me to capture it. But that's what I would have to do, is put a whole bunch of equipment on your car, and then, well, and maybe something will show up even when it's not acting up. But in a best scenario, I'll get a whole bunch of equipment on your car and then get your car to act up so that I can see which ingredient is missing. You know, you need fuel and spark and timing and all of those things to line up just right for a car to start right, and I need to know which one's not there. Maybe you would get lucky, and if you had the computer scanned, you could find a trouble code that would give us some information that would equal poor starting. But I don't know for sure without doing some research on that or some checking.
Dan, we've got about 60 seconds, maybe a quick answer here, and then a phone number. 2010 Honda CR-V four-wheel drive. Can you explain what is rear differential fluid? How often should it be changed? Also, same question for the transfer case fluid.
The fluid should be changed more often than you think.
Really?
Yeah, it should be changed on the manufacturer's recommendation. And the reason the fluid is changed is there's additives in there, because in the transfer case and in the rear differential, they have clutches in there to allow things to slip, and that those clutches need to stay clean and lubricated properly. And so they recommend changing those fluids quite often. And so do I. Do what the manufacturer recommends, because you'll have trouble if you don't.
Follow the guidelines.
Yeah.
How do we find you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1313. 1-6.
See you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, and if we didn't get to your questions, call in or text in next week here on Cecil's Car Care Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.